Hello, and I'd like to welcome you to this podcast today. I'm Francis Seeley from GlobalNet 21 and Enfield Voices, and this is one of the many podcasts that we do that look at issues nationally, locally, and indeed globally. And today we're going to look at how we create an inclusive society and what does that mean, especially at a time when there's been so much protest and so many problems around the tragedy of George Floyd. And we've got with us today Adi Adesina, who's from the Obey Community Trust. And he's going to talk to us today about some of these things, which is really great. So it's good to have you here, Adi. And I'm pleased you've been able to join this interview today. So can I ask you, first of all, do you think you could tell us a little bit about yourself?
Thank you, Francis. Thank you for having me. And it's a wonderful thing that you've been doing, because what you are giving is giving voices to the voiceless, and actually helping the people within the local community connect and giving them a platform to express. My name is Adi Adesina, as you rightly said, and I've lived in the London Borough of Enfield for about 30 years now. We started an organization in 1990, which is called Obey Community Trust. This organization is more or less to work with the working class, less privileged, and also any other member of the local community that are interested or probably lacking service. The website for the organization is www.o-bay.org. Now, we have various projects, inclusive projects, prosperity projects, educational projects, working with the vulnerable, and also working with the local community. And we do weekend classes, that's weekend supplementary classes, and we also do back-to-work initiatives. I'm one of the organization advisors. It started since 1990. I've been with the organization as far back as then. They call me dinosaur, whatever. But that's
let's go through some of the things you do gradually. But I notice you do a lot, like you have befriending services and performing arts and a lot of things. How do you manage to get all that together?
It's incredible. But you'll be surprised that where there is a will, there's a way. The way we go about doing it together is more or less we have a committee of friends and people on our board, which is the trustees. And then these are local people that felt there is a need for certain projects. Based on the needs, we then sit down together, strategize on how, or we set up a steering committee. If it's a youth project, it will be a steering committee where we have youth and we let the youth lead on their needs. And then from then we move on from there. The befriending per se, that it's more of, we look at the elderly people within the Afro-Caribbean community in the London Borough of Enfield, and particularly from African background. Some of them says they had nothing to do after retirement. It's like sitting at the airport waiting for God to take off. So it's like some of them do tend to say, due to inactivities, they find it, they start coming up with all sorts of illnesses and they end up dying off quickly. But if they can get somewhere they can give back to the community and at the same time get to leave their home for exercise, that means leave the departure lounge at the airport for a second, go around and mingle with the living, and then come back. Said it's kind of healthy. It does help them. That's one. With our weekend supplementary classes, we realized the Afro-Caribbean community, particularly people from our community, are having issues with regard to education, math, English language, and also our own dialects. history and cultural activities. So we came together on that, and then we developed projects to address those needs. We also then look at some of the young teenagers that are in between local residents, in the local area. And we incorporate and bring them on board, and we do something called youth music event, which is called escapism, youth music escapism. So where they would escape from their daily problem. Because one of the things people fail to realize is that some of the kids born in Enfield or in some of these rundown estates, it's not their fault. They just find themselves in the situation that is totally beyond their control. They're born into that poverty or the area. Now, if one had to help them to move up in life, you have to provide an opportunity. And sometimes these things are lacking within this community. So therefore, we are then now have to try and work within our means to provide such services within those estates.
Okay, so you obviously work with your community, the Afro-Caribbean community, through your community trust. And we've been through this really, really difficult time in the last few weeks with the death of George Floyd and the protests of the Black Lives Matters protest. How has that affected your community? Have you noticed a noticeable difference?
Yes, certainly. It has affected. In fact, let me show you this. This is the Public Health England research. That research says clearly what we know locally. One in four of Afro-Caribbean are likely to die of COVID-19 for many reasons. One is to do to social economic factors, and one is also to do with some of the job we do. We're in the service industry. Some majority of us are in nurses, healthcare practitioners, working in care homes and all of those areas. So that actually it gets us predisposed to this area. And before we even go further, I just would like to share something with you. With this organization of ours, we lost our accountant. He lives here in Pontesson to COVID-19. He died in April. So if we're saying what the statistic over here saying by the BBC report, which says one in four will die, and it's happening to the smallest number of the from the population. The Afro-Caribbean made up of 3% of the entire UK population.
That report was very, very important and pertinent, and I think it opened a lot of people's eyes. But do you think that people, the Black Lives Matters protest, do you think it's also opened people's eyes to the fact that there is structural racism in society, that it's not just that people from Africa, Caribbean societies die over COVID-19 more than anyone else, but their job opportunities are less, they don't get on the boards of companies, they are more likely to die in police custody than other people. Has it made people rethink that and realize that there is a problem of equality here?
I think yes is to the answer, a straight yes. That's brought to the forefront of everyone knowledge what we, the Afro-Caribbean community and the Africans, have been saying for years, that there is systemic racism. And this systemic racism is the perpetrators are going on punished. And this embold the people that is perpetrating this. And now if we shout as Africans and or Caribbean and say there's systemic racism, we don't mean the entire community is racist. We don't mean every white person you come across is racist, because one of the things you got to know is that working with allies and the white and the black and everybody, it's how we can stamp out racism. because when you talk about racism, when you talk about discrimination, sometimes these things spill over. I'll give you a typical example. Just a scenario. We work with young offenders. Now, three youths went to Wood Green to do shopping. They met at the Wood Green, one of their school colleagues. They haven't even had any plan with them. The boy went in the shop, stole something, ran away. The police came back, looked at the video camera, and said, "Oh, we saw him talking to you, so you're planning it." Now they took all the whole four, including the actual criminal, to court. They jailed the boy and also jailed the three boys that were just in the wrong place at the wrong time. They call it joint enterprise.
Yeah.
Now, they've wrecked those boys' life from the beginning without actually doing their thorough investigation. These boys came to our event to learn how to do project how to read or whatever. And you will see them filled with anger, resentment about the society, saying they haven't even start in life. Their potential is being cut straight away. The system is not listening to them.
How do we get, you explain really well that racism isn't about individual racism, it isn't about all white people are racist. It's about the system is sort of designed to prevent certain groups getting the same sort of equality as other people for all sorts of historical reasons and cultural reasons. Now, how do we get over that? How do we get a dialogue going so that people understand that?
Okay, a very good point. I'll use another scenario to analyze that, to actually answer that question. Typical example. A policeman stopped a black driver on the road. Their method is provocating to start off with. Policing in this country is by consent. And a policeman had actually stopped me in the past and said to me, "Oh, officer," and I said, "Do you?" And they said to me, "Do you know why I stopped you?" I said, "No, officer, but I guess you're going to tell me." To the police officer, "You're being rude. You're a black man. You're not supposed to say that." Instantly, get out of your car, provocating actions that follow. Police is not, if I lay my hand on a police officer, I have assaulted the policeman. But you've seen recently a policeman who pushed a black person, boom, against the car, pat him down, spread your leg, handcuff him for no reason. And when they get to the court, this is it, when they get to court, the judge would not address that aspect of that assault. That policeman has laid hand on that guy with no reason, kicked him, put him to the ground, humiliate him. That's degrading in public, provoke him in public, did all sorts of things. They'll just focus on the crime. When they focus on the crime, and then the crime goes on, maybe the guy got off, or maybe the guy went to jail. The court system should, at that point, say to the police officer, "You had also violated the guy's freedom. You had put your hand on him. You have assaulted him. Don't do that again. And if you do that, you'll be suspended or fined a week's wages." That officer will go home and say, "Okay, I don't need to lay hand on these people. I don't need to assault them. I don't need to assault anybody." Therefore, he will check himself. That will get the conversation going. But the judge, in this case, would just leave it and just say, "Oh, be glad we let you off. Don't do that again." Now, the guy will walk out of the court and said, "Okay, I did nothing or I did something. But what do you do to the person that had given me a thorough kicking? Do you just let him off?"
But it's not just about the police racism, is it? It's about employment opportunities, it's about housing, it's about a lot more. And in a way, local authorities can do a lot to help. But do you think our local authority is doing enough? I mean, they've sent out a note about their belief in diversity, but you had some doubts about that, haven't you?
Strong, serious doubts. Every single thing, when you talk about systemic racism, it's endemic in the system so far, to the point that everywhere you look, when you open a certain leaf, there is something there. So we'll just talk about the police. Now let's look at our local authority. I can clearly say to you, London Borough of Enfield in the past, from the past 20 years, had not fulfilled the agenda of addressing inequality. They had failed on many others. A typical example is this. By 2006, I was appointed by the London Borough of Enfield. Then David Borough appointed me to be the Borough BAME delegate on the Enfield Strategic Partnership Board. The Labour Party were against it, fair enough, but David Borough wants to do a kick to the Labour Party and appointed me to be that person as to represent the community. We set up what we call strategic plan. We had within up to 2019 a strategic plan to address inequality and imbalance in the society. Fair enough, the Conservative put a plan in place, but did they have a measure? I argued then for what we call key performance indicators, that if you put a key performance indicator in it, you'll be able to address the inequality that exists, not just only for the black, because if you're doing it, whatever you're doing for one, it will spread over the borough. But they did nothing. That expired by 2019.
When you said performance indicators, did you mean to find out whether they were employing people from the black community, whether they had the same promotional opportunities, whether there were the same sort of premises for them to meet in, associations? What were the indicators you wanted them to measure?
Very good question. Business opportunity, whether how many African business are engaged in the borough. Bear in mind, these people live in the borough, pay taxes, and support the borough. So therefore, they are entitled to and deserve the same rights to be engaged to provide services in the borough. When they now talk about premises for their engagement or community center, up to as I'm talking to you, there's no one clear community center for African community or that of that West Indian community. And we one of those early people working in this borough. Now, you talk about that. You talk about saying, when I was the Enfield Racial Equality Chairman, we had a key performance indicator that we check the Enfield Council by. We want to know how many offices within your executive or high-ranking office are from the African or BAME background. Now, check it, because I've got it. It's online. If you Google it, you will see it. Not a single one is African. Now, he that feels it knows it. He that feels it knows it. If you don't have anyone from this background at the table when you're discussing or you're putting a strategy together, so it's only obvious that they're going to be left behind.
And have you talked to the present local authority about it? Have they invited you in to discuss it at all?
No is the answer, but I've talked to them. Although they've put a meeting together that is going to take place on the 25th of this month, I've been badging them, arguing with them, sending series of letters to all the councillors, because as sad as it is, the current Enfield cabinet or the council that it's led by Labour Party, 99.9 of the councillors are BME. This is a so shame. That even the BME people they're the leaders in the council, and they're unable to address BME issue. Is it incompetency or is it systematic racism? And I'll see some officers as well, to be honest with you, and to do the councillors some justice. Some officers have been there too long enough, in my own opinion, that needs to be gotten rid of, because they've formed this system of actually hating certain or disliking or discriminating certain organization. Therefore, by discriminating against certain organizations that represent certain community, they fail to realize that they're penalizing that community. Because by just saying, oh, this organization, you know, shout at us too much, we're not going to support them. Meaning that that individual is not the problem you're punishing their community. And then when you talk about addressing it, then you have failed. That's one of the reasons why we say if you put performance indicators in place, that will quickly flag up that, oh, this community has been left behind. We need to do something. You don't need to see to get to the point where they're dying of COVID-19 and many other inequalities, and the kids are ending up in the prison and all stuff is carrying knife before you know there is pandemic.
You mentioned knife crime as well. I think in your website has been an area that you're concerned about in Enfield. Are you concerned about the local authorities' approach to that as well?
So concerned. In fact, the community cabinet member for Enfield, she's a Nigerian for heaven's sake. And the knife crime in London, Enfield was rated fifth in the whole of UK for knife crime and deprivation. And up to as I am talking to you right now, Africans and actually come up on higher on the list of the victim of knife crime. Africans that are second generation, they are higher on the list. And so ashamed that the officers of the London Borough of Enfield and the councillor are probably oblivious to the fact that this is a pandemic and it's an issue that we need to address. And then tell me, ask them, this is an open thing, ask them whether there is one known African community center or youth center, the resource and support, there is a center for those kids to go for a diversion.
What is it you want them to do that they're not doing it? Is it the provision of centers or is it something else?
Then, you see, with every issue, it's not one rule fits all. It has to be a multifaceted approach in dealing with many issues because everybody have different reasons and rationale why they do what they do. But at least start from one elementary level. Provide a community, African community center, Afro-Caribbean maybe, or a BM. We've argued since, it's almost 20 years since we've been arguing with the council for Afro-Caribbean center, and every subsequent councillors or a council leader says the same thing, no resources. And they have resources to do many things. And the kids are killing each other. There's knife crime. There's many other incidents. So what price are they putting on the African life? They don't mean anything to them. That's what they're basically saying. Because if they really value, they mean think all life matters. They would have looked and stopped and said, listen, this statistic from the government, which is not even by us, by the mayor office and many other institutions, is saying there is a problem here. And you don't think everything is okay. Business as usual, stay to go. And the officers themselves as well are getting paid and going home. And nobody's asking a question. What are you getting paid for from the taxpayer money? And you come here into this office as a counselor or as an officer doing this every day. And these kids are dying. It's happening to everybody. Sooner or later, it will be happening to their own children. Because what goes around comes around. So until that time,
You talk very eloquently about the crime situation and knife crime and the problems there, but you also have concern about public health, don't you, in Enfield? And I guess the COVID-19 is part of that, but is it wider than that?
It is wider than that. For argument's sake, since 2005, we've been petitioning Enfield Council at every opportunity that we get, that there is no even elderly care, elderly home for the African elderly people within the borough. There's no cultural sensitive meal provided to African elderly people when they are in those homes. A typical example is Sam Bell, a gentleman that was former chairman of Enfield Racial Equality Council. When he got to the age where he has to go into home, they put him in a home, and the man told us when we visited, because I happen to be former chairman of Enfield Racial Equality Council. And the man said to us, every day he sat by the window looking forward to a black face because he's being put in this home where he's outnumbered, and they made him listen to Beethoven symphony, make him eat soup in the morning. This is a man that's used to eating rice, eating some African food, he's taking orders. So, and then after that, they will come and ask him, Sam, are you okay? What's today's date? And he goes to them, they're stupid, because when he sees us, he's happy because we're bringing him solid food to eat, African food. And he said, they give some of those people kosher, that's Jewish food. They give Asian food. They give many other things, but they make him eat soup. It's water to him.
No soup. But I mean, what would you, I mean, if you were to go and meet the chief executive or the leader of the council now, what would be the first thing you ask them to do?
First thing is for them to carry out a review of their activities when it's come to African and Caribbean community. We have the statistic. We know what it's where there's gaps, but for us, saying it might be because they will say, "Oh, he's always talking about providing services, and the services cost money." Yet we pay council tax. Every time they say there's no service, they cannot provide it. They've never reduced the council tax. The council tax is going up. The services is going the opposite direction. So therefore, and some other community are receiving kosher meat, Asian meal, and so on and so forth. So if you're able to do it within that budget to those communities, why not to the African community? If you're able to provide business opportunity or community center for all other communities, why not African community? If you're able to actually say hospital malnutrition should be abolished because you want to provide appropriate meal at the hospital, then that's fine. You talk about African people in the mental health system, right? There is many issues that could make an African man be in a mental health system. Never comes out of it forever because, well, one of it is malnutrition. You're talking about a chemical imbalance. What is chemical imbalance? Elementary form of chemical imbalance is when your dietary intake is not okay, is not appropriate. You give someone soup today, soup in the morning, and then you give him a diazepam or you give him some antipsychotic pill. The guy is going to flip out of his mind because he hasn't had a proper dietary intake, and then he's got chemical imbalance, and then you're asking him to time and place orientation. What is time and place orientation? The people will tell us, oh, after 3 days you've gone in there, you're not properly fed, you are not properly taken care of, and they expect you.
So from what you're saying, you think a lot can be done within the scarce resources that already exist. It's not about spending a lot of money. It's about talking to you, understanding, and making changes which are not expensive.
Yeah, box cleverly. Because if not, it is just the revolving door syndrome. The revolving door syndrome is they go out one door and come back the next door because A, you have not adequately looked after them, but you can box clever. They right now, they're looking at penny wise, pound foolish. If you pass a person and that, and you're still going to turn around and come back tomorrow, you're going to spend more in the long time than actually getting it right in the first place. For argument's sake, if they had given an African community center and we're able to provide services, we're able to manage and we're able to work within our community, all the money they're spending, whether to solve crime or health or all those areas, we could actually help reducing that expenditure overhead for them. Because A, there is an organization where they could go to, and the community center is there where A, they could be actually assessing maybe back to work initiative, or they even getting employed within that sector. So it is not, you don't need to be an Einstein, you don't need to be a brain surgeon to actually look at those simple techniques and how you can make the little money we have go far if you think about importance of certain community groups. And we contribute a lot.
So are you optimistic about the future? Do you think you will get what you want? You will be able to talk to the council? They will, you know, come together with you? Or do you think it's still going to be a long struggle?
We hope and pray for the positive turnaround. That's all we do. At least this help, this publication, Public Health England, and the BBC reports has shone a light on all this inappropriate and, or I could say, discrimination or systemic racism in a way, has shone light on it. So perhaps if they have conscience, they would then start thinking we should look beyond the simple cynical view and address the root cause of this thing. Stop treating symptoms, but look, focus on the causation. If you look at, if you're constantly treating symptoms, you're forever treating and you will never be able to eradicate the issue. But if you look at the root cause, which is the causation, then you will get far further down the line. And this is where the bone of contention is. So okay, whether or not they will, I hope they think twice and look, because we're not going to give up, because it's affecting us and it's difficult for us to keep quiet when we are on fire. So therefore, we're going to be constantly talking to them and hoping for a better, I mean, greener pasture, basically.
Okay, so while you're still on fire, if, if people want to make contact with you, find out more about all the amazing things you're doing, how do they do that?
Just send me an email, visit our website. Our website is www.o-bay, that's Alpha, I mean, Bravo Alpha Yankee Bay.org, Oscar Romeo Gov, that's Obey Community Trust. Google, we have a website and we also have a Facebook. In fact, we're running currently a COVID-19 project for some of the people we have lost to COVID-19. And it's sad to say, in the Enfield, we lost quite a few from our community to COVID-19. And it's just a shame that it's what the national government is saying, it's come home to roost.
Okay. So we sort of come to the end of our half hour, and I mean, what you've told us has been really interesting, and the tragedy of that report, which you've just shown us now, I think is something which I think everyone has seen, and I hope it sort of, you know, comes to their mind that something really has to be done, not about individual racism, that can be done, I hope, through dialogue, but, you know, structural racism where, you know, the whole system discriminates against certain groups of people, and particularly people of color. So, you know, thank you for, you know, doing this, and I'm sure we'll do something with you again, and it would be nice to do something which shows some of the activities of your trust, you know, some of the performance things you do, which I think people will be really interested in. So, you know, thank you for doing this, Avi, and it's been great having you here. So we'll end this interview now.